This is very encouraging. On the last day of the event, the last session, to have this much attendance is something I wasn't really prepared for, but it's really encouraging. I've also stood a lot of times at the back of the room in school and college, but that was for different reasons. I see you're doing it for by choice. So, to quickly get started, we are short on time. We have to stop at 5:20. We'll give 10 minutes for question and answers. What I'd like to explain to you is, this is the easiest HOL I'm doing. I've worked on on-premise infrastructure solutions and so on. To do a hands-on lab, I had to build virtual machines and so on, and then sysprep them and deploy to all machines. Here I just had to ask Mark to help me with a few Azure subscriptions, and I had to create a document. So it was easy. That said, the reason I point that out is you can actually take that document and continue working on this. The subscriptions that you have here, and Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, they can use this for the next, up to the next 30 days, and if they click on the credit limit, they'll see how much credit they've got left.
So right now, the Azure passes that they're using are the ones that are already configured on the machine.
Correct.
They'll get the Azure passes later.
You will get passes like this later. You will probably have your organizational Azure subscriptions. So nothing that we're doing here is disruptive. If you're doing any testing in another Azure subscription, nothing that we do now will be broken. You can follow the lab document. I've broken into two sections. Sections I would like you to do today, and sections you can continue doing later. For example, the easy but the more cooler bits, like changing the branding and changing this logo that you see at sign on and so on. So that you can do later. We'll start by doing Active Directory. Yes, the username is on your laptop. That is the username at or outlook.com, and the password for everyone is CONF2015, C uppercase. You'll see it right here. If not, correct. So, first step. Okay, let me first introduce myself. You will see it on the lab guide as well. The lab guide is available at that link, the first link. You need to download the last document in the folder there. If you have any issues, if you need any help, you have my friend Mayur, who delivered the previous session, which is why we lost 10 minutes, by the way. He is to blame. His sessions are very popular, and I tend to follow his sessions, so I'm used to this. But he will help you around in the room getting through the Azure portal or through the Azure portal. First, start by going to that page and looking for a document that says NINAG 10.NINAG-Azure Active Directory. You can download it, you can email it to yourself. First thing about working with a tool like Windows Azure, a platform like Windows Azure, it requires login. And there's a good chance that with your units, with your laptops, your desktops, you're already signed into a lot of Outlook.coms, Live.coms, MSN.coms, Hotmail.coms. So I always start a new Internet Explorer session in private mode. That way I can have multiple users log in and do multiple scenarios. So my plan was to walk you through a few steps and then let you do some. We will do it parallelly. So to answer your question, to get back, that's the link, that is the password. The username to log into Azure is on your laptop. There's a yellow sticker. That's the username you need to add at outlook.com to it. So let's quickly get on the Azure portal. And the mic, yes, sorry. So any questions till now? I know I'm really doing this fast. It's not opening. Mayur is getting to you.
The OneDrive is opening, and make sure that this is case sensitive. Just make sure you have typed it correctly. It is case sensitive.
The OneDrive.
Yes, the OneDrive.
The link, OneDrive link.
The OneDrive is case sensitive.
Make sure you have also typed it, because it's all uppercase.
So you think mine has to be lowercase?
Check what is it.
No, it's correct. Correct. Correct.
That's my work.
So make sure that this is the correct URL that you have.
The last K is lowercase, as it is there.
Which document?
The last document, 10.NINAG-Azure Active Directory. at the back and want to do this later, like Mark said, you will be getting Azure passes, or you can use your subscription. The one that I have is AWWC or uppercase and small k, lowercase k to be precise. So while we do that, just to show off hands, how many of you are familiar or slightly familiar with Azure or Azure Active Directory? Okay. How many of you are developers? Okay, so do not ask me difficult questions. I am not a developer. The furthest I get is to search up a PowerShell script and then write my name at the top. So, but yes, if you have any questions about using Azure Active Directory to develop apps, some of you attended the previous session, here is your man. Mayur Tendulkar is MVP. So are we able to move on? Are we able to get onto the portal and the, yeah? Okay. So the document has my contact information as well. It doesn't have my email address, which I realized. So if you need my email address, it's my first name at Microsoft.com. If you have any questions, if you need any content, if you have any ideas that I can steal from you, Ninad at Microsoft.com. It took me some time. I used to do www.azure.com and then go to portal. You can do manage.windowsazure.com. So while we are getting there, I just want to explain something to you which you may not be familiar with. We've got Office 365, a SaaS-based solution. We've got Windows or Microsoft Intune, which is a cloud device management and application management solution. And we've got Azure Active Directory. These three together make the Enterprise Mobility Suite, which we are not discussing right now. If you have any questions, I am willing to wait back and discuss that with you. But the Enterprise Mobility Suite works as one unit because of the Azure Active Directory. In Azure, you take Azure Active Directory as a service. You can add users, you can delete users, you can sync them from on-premise Active Directory. You can configure it for single sign-on with Active Directory Federation services. You can create groups. You can build applications like Mayur taught in the last session on that Active Directory, just like you did on-prem. So that's an Active Directory service you consume. In Intune, Intune is built on top of that service. So you can at best create users or delete users. Same thing with Office 365. So Azure Active Directory is the same directory structure across Office 365, Intune, and Azure. In Azure, you leverage the service, you play with it, you build on top of it. Office 365, Intune are already built on top of it. So you don't really do anything to Azure Active Directory there except configure or delete users and so on. Now, why did I bring up Office 365? It's because part of the demo, you'll see some Office 365 component. When you go to one of the links, login.microsoft.com, you will actually be going to Office 365 without really enabling an Office 365 subscription. So it's just that you're pushing it as an app platform. Okay. Now, everyone got the document? Then let's get started with the first few steps. We are doing nothing but creating a domain. If you go to your Active Directory tab, on the left hand side, I know some of them will need help finding the tab, you'll have to scroll down.
Just mention where exactly to go, manage.windowsazure.com.
Okay, again, the portal URL is manage.windowsazure.com. Correct. Yes. You can, when you log in, your exercise begins with the steps in the document. So those are interested, when you configure single sign-on, like I have done for one of my environments, ADFS, so I have an on-premise Active Directory where this user Ninad sits. What it should do is so I have an on-premise Active Directory. I didn't want to create duplicate or a different instance of identities in the cloud, I sync them. We are not doing that in this exercise because that requires virtual machines running here and then, you know, more bandwidth from here being consumed to sync and so on. We've dropped that step because internet isn't always our friend. But you can do that. All you need is a domain controller and the DIRSync tool, or now known as AD Connect tool. And if you're interested, let me know. I have the exact same lab guide with those steps as well. Perform the steps to sync on-prem identities to the cloud. Now when you sync on-prem identities to the cloud and you're logging into the cloud, you have two options where the cloud authenticates on behalf of the on-prem identities, or the authentication request flows down to the on-premise. And that's where we use Active Directory Federation Services. So I'm going to an environment where I have that configured. Notice what happens in the address bar. So it's saying we are taking you to your organization sign-in page. This is not the experience you are getting. I'm getting this. If you look at the URL, those who are familiar with Active Directory Federation Services, it has redirected me there. And this is my custom branding. So you can also do that, not part of this exercise. You can do the branding at the end of this exercise, configure ADFS and the whole setup. Feel free to reach out to me if that interests you. This is currently I am with ADFS 2.0 because I have an old setup, but it will work with ADFS 3.0 as well. The branding page? The branding page is handled by Azure Active Directory, not really by ADFS. Correct. No, it is available only for premium accounts, which you will be able to enable. So there are 50 or 60 plus services in Azure, but we are focusing on the one that probably was the first thing we got when we got our first job, the username and password. So most things that we do in IT are really tied to an identity store. So this is a domain that I have created, and like he pointed out, you need to enable Active Directory Premium. When you create your own domain as part of the first exercise, just take a quick look here, I won't take too long here. You need to go here, that's in the lab guide. You need to go to the domain, scroll down, and you will have the button that says something like try now. You need to try that now. Before you try that, please create a new user account. I'll tell you the difference between using an Azure Pass, which is something we create for you and give out, versus creating your own trial subscription where you can do this easily, is that the Azure Pass, we won't let you log in with your private IDs, an Outlook or Live.com. Hence, create a domain, create a user. Right now you're logging with Outlook.com. When you create a user, you will create it under yourdomain.onmicrosoft.com. You have already created your identity store, right? And then you can use that and log in with that if required to show that you are logging in with your organization or school account. So if you try to enable AD Premium with an Outlook.com account, it will say login with an organization work or school account. So don't get confused with that. I just wanted to show you the page where you see that. And to point to your question about AD Premium, we will be enabling AD Premium in the lab. Create a user account first so that the domain for supposed organization comes into play. And you're not doing Outlook.com, which is a domain we manage as a public service. So you can, the first user account we'll create will be a global administrator. You had a question? Yeah, please go ahead. But if you follow the lab guide, it will ask you to create a user account first. I would prefer that. So when you have enabled it, yes. Okay. Do not enable multi-factor authentication for now. If you add multi-factor authentication, you will have some setup like this in your configure page. The second last tab, configure. But we'll get there. We'll get there in exercise 5. You can, that's a good question. This question is, do I have to use your domain or my domain dot on Microsoft.com, or can I just take my existing .com domain and sync it with Active Directory? Yes, you can. If you have a publicly registered domain, you can add it to this newly registered, newly created domain. So that public facing name will let you sign in with those accounts. How I signed in as ninad@mtcbank.com. So I have MTC Bank publicly registered, but in the back end in my Azure Active Directory, let me show you, it's something different. So in the back end I have bankmtc.onmicrosoft.com, and then I created a custom domain saying mtcbank.com. It says verified, because in the backend, Azure went to mtcbank.com to fetch its NS lookup records, name server records. Because every time the query comes, it has to actually hit those servers to resolve. So if you have a publicly domain registered with godaddy.com, we will in the backend automatically upload those things. I have another domain registered with bigrock.in because it's cheaper. Then I have to publicly actually go to my bigrock.in subscription, login for that account and update my NS records and everything to point to the Azure Active Directory piece. So when you're doing this, you can also do this with Office 365, right? It's the same setup here. Yes. Good point. With Office 365, you really get a domain for Office 365, the service. Can you build an application to work on that? No. Can you tie it to a virtual network? No. Can you sync it with an on-prem Active Directory? No. So it's really being consumed by Office 365. So it's a SaaS-based solution. The service we provide is those apps. Just for your information, that SaaS apps actually are built on that Azure Active Directory. I think so. So when you do SSO, you're not syncing. You're doing ADFS, which means the request for login to Office 365 is going to your on-premise Active Directory. But your identities are not being synced there. So you can use dirsync and you could use Fim to sync tools. I think so, I'm not sure about that, but you don't take Active Directory on Office 365. You take Office 365. Correct. Okay, I think we can check that, is that the account you created or you bought it from your organization?
I created.
Okay.
Okay.
And that domain you write to your...
First I have to go to the office.
Okay.
And then I was managing users, it told me to go get a subscription for sure.
Correct.
And I got a trial subscription for sure, and then I was able to manage users.
So you had to pull in Azure Active Directory for that extra piece. So like I said, you can control the Office 365 apps and their access. At the back end is Azure Active Directory. You can't go to Office 365 for Azure Active Directory. The Azure Active Directory is a service to be consumed. You have to come to Azure.
Then in what cases do we actually use ADFS?
So you use ADFS when you want to use an application which does not originally authenticate to a on-premise or any other Active Directory. So use federation services where tokens are used to authenticate on behalf of and so on. And when you use AD, you're actually AD Premium or Azure Active Directory, you're actually syncing those identities. They stay there. So that Active Directory can actually authenticate that user which originated from the on-premise Active Directory. Let me show you what I mean. If I go to my users, you will notice a lot of users and take a look at the sourced from. So if you find Ninad, let's find Ninad. Okay. My identity, the user account that I used to sign into this was not originally created in Azure Active Directory. It was created on a domain controller. I use DirSync, or now we call it AD Connect, to sync the identity here. There can be a write back. There can also be a write back, but I don't create users here and sync them, force them downwards. Because when I create users here, they are tied to this domain. I don't force it on that domain controller. I can take users from here and write them here. Password, properties, and I also show some other places where I change phone number and those things. Yes. Okay.
I have a mix of on-premise as well as 60% and users in it. So now what happens to those users you don't split and they all have a new domain?
Okay.
Is it possible to migrate those users from the existing to the new organization?
Short answer? That's the word I was avoiding seamlessly. Short answer, it is possible. But I'll have a lot of follow-up questions up to exactly what is being split. So we'll take this question either at the end or we'll do a discussion in depth later. Just for the interest of the flow of the session. But I see your question where it is going. So if you notice, I've got local Active Directory, Microsoft account, and Windows Azure Active Directory. So these are the type of identities I'm now living in my Active Directory. And just to check how far have you reached in your lab, everyone's logged in and is able to start at least creating a new domain. Add custom domain. Okay. No, you don't have to add a custom domain. If you have to add a custom domain, you will need a publicly registered DNS.
The custom domain I am not able to add anything.
Okay.
I don't have a public domain. Having a public domain, but I don't have a control panel where I can.
Okay. So you will need that because otherwise, unless it's GoDaddy.com, you will still need to authorize this change. You can leave it like this. If you're interested in doing it later, I will show you how you can do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So one more thing, I chose not to do a PowerPoint presentation because everything I've learned about Azure Active Directory is from the portal. Everything that you need to know, there's a question mark right next to the option in most cases, and there's a learn more button. So that's how I did. That's why I stayed away from a PowerPoint presentation, because this is a nice canvas to paint the story on. Everything is already there. So this is a nice setup that I have a local account sync from an on-premise environment. I have public accounts like Outlook and Live to allow them signing into the subscription and make them members of the domain. And I can also create accounts in Azure Active Directory. If you did an AD setup on a VM, it will be unsynced it with Azure Active Directory. You're just making Azure Active Directory think that this is your on-premise domain controller. But it is actually syncing there. So you can do it, and I've done it in demo cases, I've done it in labs, I've done it in trainings. But if you are doing it for production purposes, my question is, why are you doing it? Because then there is no on-premise at all. You're actually consuming cloud. You have an Active Directory there. You have a domain controller there. And you're paying for storage, compute, networking for that domain controller instance. Exactly. So if no, I wouldn't say you put an on-premise environment because you want to avoid a VM there. My question is, do you have an Active Directory to begin with? If, like startups, we call them born in the cloud, which means they don't even own a single server. They just start creating everything in the cloud, including their user accounts, their mail services, their document management systems, backup services, everything in the cloud. But in our case, I can see in most SIs, ISVs, for anyone who's been in the job for more than 4 or 5 years, we'd agree that there is a domain controller somewhere that you log into. So there's an investment there, there's a schema that you've built, an organizational political alignment that is stored there. How do you just replace that overnight? You're going to either take baby steps or you're going to partially host something on the cloud and something on-prem, right? So I have other solutions that I would show you about how to have applications on-prem made available to the cloud. We have something known as remote apps, Azure remote apps, and application proxy. Again, not part of the discussion, but I'll show it to you on my machine after this session. Going back to your question, going on-prem is a requirement when I have an on-prem investment, which I cannot abandon suddenly. Which is why I sync some users and slowly, slowly, new users I don't add in Active Directory.
So for users to log in on their system rather than domain controller site, it would be faster than connecting to...
If it is just logging in requests, based on your internet connectivity, it will be fast. But if the user is logging in from home over VPN or something like that, what are you going to do about it? Secondly, you are paying for internet bandwidth. So that's what you don't want your users to come into your premise and send every authentication request to the cloud when you've already paid for network switches, network cables, and so on. You already have that infrastructure. You have the choice of syncing password hashes or you just sync identity. Sorry? Okay, good question. When you use AD Connect, if you run the AD Connect tool, it will ask you for two username passwords. One is the domain administrator for the on-prem account, so that the tool can retrieve objects from there, and one is for the Azure subscription. So that's how you authorize the transaction. Second, when the transaction happens, the tool actually creates a secure tunnel between Azure and the tool's endpoints. So if you were to run a sniffer tool, network monitor or anything, you will see an SSL channel. You won't see an open communication. So that's how it's encrypted using the username password you provided. And then the next step it does is it pulls a certificate key from Azure because it's your credential. So it can pull that key and it encrypts the channel with that key. Sorry? That encryption key will be Microsoft. I'll show you where it is as well. We call it the publishsettings.ini file, publish settings file. If you set up a site-to-site VPN, you would have used that.
Can I consider this as additional domain controller
copy? Okay. At a high level, yes, but yes, you can do that, and we do that. We actually do that users who are traveling, if my on-site domain controller is down, connectivity to it is down, I can still authenticate with AD. There are two ways to do that as well. You can run a VM and then have it run as a domain controller in the same domain. Or you can have Azure Active Directory, which will create a new domain. So it will not be an additional domain controller in that case. You can use multi-factor authentication when you're publishing apps, when you're letting users log in. Multi-factor authentication is using something that you have and something that you know, maybe a cell phone. So you can use it when you publish apps. For example, in this exercise, we'll be publishing apps to a portal, but we want to make sure users are only able to access that app if they enter username password and they get a phone call on which they authenticate with the key. So we have that in the lab as well. multi-factor, not just two, because you can do username, password, phone number, text, email, you can set a combination. Okay. So, the AD Connect tool, and I'm just being correct so that when you go and search for that tool, you look for AD Connect and not Async. Give it a time. AD Connect, you will run on the Active Directory domain controller from where you're syncing on premises. Your security team may not allow you to install it on Active Domain Controller. So, you can install it on any computer on your machine, on your environment which connects to the internet, and then query the domain controller. Any member server, any member client machine as well. Yes. Think about this as like retrieving objects from the domain controller. Any application that retrieves all objects from the domain controller needs domain admin rights. Or you can actually, for this specific purpose, you can create a specific admin or a delegated admin. But the delegated admin will have almost full permission because this is like an enterprise schema that we are reading and then syncing. Okay, so I'll start with what we are not doing. We are not moving users from an on-prem Active Directory. That is for you to do later if you want. We are creating a domain in Azure Active Directory. We are creating users to it. We are creating groups. We are going through the settings for management of groups. We are going through delegated access management options. And then we are publishing some apps to these users to be accessed anywhere from the internet. We are creating some rules about how they can access the apps. If they don't have the app already, how they can request for the app. Who can approve it. And then we are building multi-factor authentication on top of that. That is the plan. How much you complete is up to you and how much time is left. So that is not in my hand. But again, you can continue with these exercises with the lab. Audit logs. Okay. I promised to show you, but I actually now want everyone to do the labs. I have it right here, but because we are going through the cycle, you are falling behind on the labs. I'll let you start the labs, and I will show you all the security reports. I can hear you. I'll repeat your question.
Alright. So we are using AD Connect to synchronize all the users to cloud, okay? And we have an option to synchronize password.
Yes.
So why we use ADSSL? So actually authentication is done by AD Connect with the password sync.
If you do password sync.
If you upload
password hashes.
Alright. But then why are we using ADSSL? Actually it's doing the same thing. It's authenticated. And if we have AD Connect with password, it is also authenticated.
If you have AD Connect with password, you need not use ADSSL.
Alright. So if both, we can go either.
Yeah. But like here in this case, I want to showcase with this environment that those who already have Active Directory environments and are evaluating the cloud, it's not an either or this or that option. I'm showing them they can continue authenticating to Active Directory. The same user, if he was on the network, on premises, he would go directly to the domain controller. But because Azure service is hosted in the cloud, that's why it's redirecting into SDS. But other services are accessing over the internet. Oh, sorry, over the internal network.
Yes,
you can try it out. If you have a domain controller, it will work. Now those attributes, like I said, phone numbers and those settings.
Okay, so actually, what's the time interval that it is being synchronized, either forward or backward, on its own, or do we have to manage?
It's not like Active Directory application. It's not a running schedule. It's your choice when you trigger.
Okay, so it won't happen on its own.
Sorry? Yeah, but if you change those attributes and you want to show them immediately, then you'll have to run the tool again. It's not a complete two-way replication like Active Directory replication or even domain trust.
Then what about the consistency
if someone goes into the admin store and wants to that CJ3 cloud? Well, if you give him access to do that, then that risk is there. Just like if you give someone sorry, I thought we lost power. If you give someone the password to your bank account, it is the same thing, really. When you give him admin access on this portal, now on this portal as well, there are multiple roles. A service administrator, a billing administrator, so on. Within that, in this Active Directory also, you have roles. Yeah. Well, in case someone changes, if you have enabled that, write back, because you want them to write back. So it's in the tool, you have the option, you have a checkbox, right? You have a checkbox for write. That's not the word, I use the write back word. I know where you're coming from. Authoritative, non-authoritative is when we do it between two domain controllers, replication. That's why I want to correct, you know, I don't want it to be compared directly to that. It's not the same solution, it's not the same set of code.
Like our on-prem Active Directory, can we manage computer accounts from this AD?
We cannot, okay. So we don't do domain joins here.
Okay.
As of now, we can't do domain joins here. The reason for that is this is a cloud service and we're looking at a mobility solution. When we say mobility, the devices that we look at are not domain join capable. My Windows phone, my Android phone does not join to a domain. But I use Intune to enroll them. And that, those devices get registered here. And then I manage them with different set of policies. Just like I have group policies on-prem. But with Windows 10, you will have Intune-based or cloud services-based domain join. You may have, let me correct that, you may have. We are still checking. That's a feasible security solution.
So, sir, if the devices are registered in here, Active Directory, so there is often in Windows Phone or Workplace account. So, that is similar kind of.
No, this is. You can use Workplace in conjunction to these mobility solutions, but it's not the same, or it's not the overlap either. But I'll not go deeper into Workplace right now. For just the sake of not everyone is aware of Workplace, we'll discuss it again later if you want. Correct. Like he asked, how what is the rest data at rest and data in transit security? At rest is we are only able to query using the tool. If you provide a username and password, that has the rights. So that's how we do the authorization. Then the encryption part is when the tool actually gets the tool username password for the Azure subscription, say a global administrator, it downloads an encryption key. And the communication, the sync, happens in an encrypted channel. So you could start the AD Connect, sync it, and you can run network monitor on your network card to see what traffic is going on. You will see all traffic, except this traffic will show as SSL encrypted. So, I would say that now start your labs or continue with your labs. I would say continue with your labs anyway. You have the lab document. I would ask you to stop or stay here longer than 5:30 because we have the closing address which you would like to see as well. It's 5:15 and we know whom to blame. So,
sorry.
But it's all good. This session was interesting. I couldn't attend it because I was late. I didn't get a seat. All good things. And I want more questions. I think this is new. Some of you haven't asked any, haven't done it. So you've not had the questions. So you have had learning from others' questions. Can you add multiple domains? You can create multiple domains inside your subscription. Can you join a machine? Or user to multiple domains?
No sir, one part is that create a child mine.
Sorry?
One part and add the, some other childs.
No, we don't have the concept of child domains yet in Azure Active Directory.
Only one Active.
In the hierarchy, there is one.
Do we have additional domains?
Yes, you can add additional domains or domain controllers?
Domain controllers.
you have no control over the domain controllers. Here, there is no concept of domain controllers. You add domain controllers for redundancy, reachability. We are taking care of that as a cloud service. You need not care about load or so on. You can add as many users as supported. We will handle it in the back end. No, unfortunately, you can't create child domains here in Azure Active Directory. It's a flat structure. You only create one domain. The solution for that, I would ask you what you're trying to do with the child domain. Is it because traditionally you had a child domain, or is it because of user-based management? You can create groups here for that. Okay. But you cannot have. Then what I have to do is, I have create separate domains here. Within Azure Active Directory, I have create separate domains for each region. And I can add users from other domains to this domain. Yes. Yes, you can connect not the Active Directory itself, you can use Azure to authenticate to third party, no, I wouldn't say directory services, I would say identity services. For example, Facebook, Gmail, Google and so on. Having said that, we are not endorsing them as identity providers. There is a common standard of authentication APIs that they extend, based on which you can add those authentication providers here. But they are outside our SLA. And they are outside our control. So yes, you might have a business that is set on Google. You're building services in Azure. Now you don't want to go and tell your users new username and password. You can just do a single sign-on by adding that identity provider. They can continue using those Gmail accounts to log in. Yes. Right. So they've exposed APIs. There's a backhand. Back handshake at the back that we do with them, and it's a common API from security platform, a common standard, not a common API, a common standard with which has been written. So you can just OAuth and
OpenID is
supported. Is OpenID? I am not aware of OpenID, so I'll have to look that up. But if you need an answer specifically, ninad@microsoft.com. I will try it out. If not, I'll find it out. So I'll officially close the session and open it for Q&A.
Okay, password.
And my job description says that I should say this. Feedback is important for us. Whatever you felt, whatever you experienced, what has been good, what hasn't worked, what you'd like to see, what you'd like to see more of, what you liked and you don't want it to go away next time, let us know. Please fill the feedback. To fill the feedback, at the bottom of your document is
Darshan ko dhoondh.
Right. And you also need to sign out of the Azure account before going, not right away. Before going, you have two options to fill in the feedback. On the document, you have the QR code. Scan it with your phone. And you have the app, the phone app. If you haven't downloaded it, you can look it up. Azure for sure is the app. And you can pick the session and you can add feedback. And you can continue with the questions. I you're not able to remove the. So the subscription or Active Directory domain or AD premium license. Okay, I'll show you. And you can, to answer your question, it can be deleted. There's a remove button. It's not updating or it's not doing anything or it's giving an error. Okay, then we'll either wait on it. That might fix it. If not, I'll sit down with you and check that.
Sir, there is one more
tab. So those devices you don't register in Azure Active Directory. Those are the devices which my user has registered with, say Intune or has signed in with. So I've gone into my profile and you'll see devices and applications from where this user has signed in. So this is not a domain joined device. So I've got a Windows 8. Sorry. I'll just come there, but just for information, if you notice, it tells me exactly where I've signed in from. It detects the IP. And one interesting thing this has brought me to is, if you've heard of the Microsoft Cyber Crime Unit, we have a massive cyber crime unit which works with government and ISPs. Everyone heard of the botnet attack, right? Botnets, malware, spyware. So these guys detect, they work with these ISPs to blacklist these IPs. Okay? I have a setting where I can say if anyone comes from a blacklisted IP, do not allow access. Or I can have that setting disabled. It could be so that we also have an algorithm which checks. I checked in India 2 hours ago, and 3 hours ago, 3 hours later, I'm checking in Mexico or signing in from Mexico. It could be because my ISP has given me an IP address from Mexico, or there is a VPN tunnel that I'm going through. So that there's no way the machine learning algorithm will know if that is true or not. It will show that in the report. I'll come to your question as well. I will just show off. It takes 2 or 3 minutes. Oh, you're saying to the Active Directory? If the replication isn't triggered yet, then it will wait for that 3 hour mark since it's run the last time. Or you'll have to go to the on-prem and run the tool. So, sync tool. Replication is the wrong word. Sync tool. Manually sync it. Within 3 hours. Because let's assume you sync it now and then you immediately change the password. So you're within 3 hours before the next cycle. Okay. So that's information from me as well. So I want to show you some reports. So now the reason I brought that cybercrime unit was all that feeds into this. I have these reports that tell me may indicate a sign-in without being traced if someone is masking sign-in attempts. My organization might have a policy that people should show their device thumbprint, their IP addresses, and everything. So I can check in that in this report. From possibly infected devices, a sustained intrusion attack, someone is trying to do a DDoS attack over and over again. It can also tell me a detailed view of password resets. Audited events in your directory. So I think someone had a question about audits. So you can look this report up. I would pull this up, but then it will take a few seconds for the report to pull up, so I don't know. No, not necessarily just the administrator of the organization. In Azure Active Directory, if he is a global administrator or a service administrator. Because it's a portal-based view. Just like if your administrator in Active Directory with the SQL server doesn't recognize you, you won't be able to see SRS reports, SSRS reports. So we'll continue with questions, but I have some goodies. I don't know which one you will like. I'll try and be fair based on the questions asked. So the questions and answers. I know there were more questions as well. I know a lot of you asked good questions, but I have only these many questions. Yes, you. Thank you. Maybe I'll see you next time. So, just to give you time to get back to, yes, Sukrit is telling me, bus ho gaya. So, just so that you can get back and get a seat in the closing note, we'll call it a day. But I'm right here if you have any questions. I said some of you have been promises, so we can try and live up to those now. Thank you so much, everyone. And big thank you to the staff there, Sukriti and Mayur, for helping out.